following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hey, Refuge family. How you guys doing today? Today, I am going to be sharing today's Refuge Daily with us. So I'm going to pray for us and we'll get right into it. Father, we thank you for this moment, just in the middle of the day, to be able to allow you to renew our minds with your word. God, you say to not be conformed, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so, God, we ask that you would please do that in this moment, Lord, that you would speak to us, God, that you would empower me, and God, that you would have your way in this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so, you know, today I'm going to ask us to do something a little bit different. I'm going to actually ask us to start out our time by using our imagination, okay? So imagine this. It is Christmas Eve. The turkey is in the oven. The chestnuts are roasting over an open fire, right? You have the hot chocolate. You have your ugly sweater on. And the family's all together, right? Except for you. You are actually outside. You are either at Walmart or Target, right? And you are looking for all of the different gifts that you still have to get that are on your list, right? And so you start looking around, and eventually you find things that can work. You get back home late, and by the time you get back home, everyone's sleeping, and so you start wrapping the presents at that time frame, but you're tired, you know, you're stressed, you know, you just feel like you've had a long, long day, and you feel like, man, it's hard to enjoy, you know, just all the festivities when you're kind of just in this rush mode, right? Has anyone ever experienced that before? You know, I think I haven't had those exact circumstances, but I've had pretty close to it where, because of my procrastinating, what would happen is that day you're just stressed instead of enjoying and just really just recognizing what is going on in that season. But that was, again, just an example of a time where maybe I procrastinated, right? Maybe you guys can think of some different examples of maybe where you've done something similar as well, right? You know, the thing when it comes to procrastination is basically you are putting something that is important, you know, you're putting something that is important, and you're kind of basically pushing it away to do something that is less important, to put your focus there. And I think we can all kind of relate. We've probably all have been there maybe in different ways and in different circumstances, but really, I come here not to talk about just procrastination in general. I want to talk to you guys specifically today about when procrastination turns dangerous. Dangerous. Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember from the late 90s, early 2000s, there used to be, you know, those recorded shows where they would say, you know, when animals attack or when the zoo animals turn dangerous or something like that too. So, you know, kind of just in light of that, I was thinking about, okay, when does procrastination turn dangerous? And I think there are time frames where procrastination can be dangerous, specifically when it comes to our relationship with God. So where am I getting that from? I'm actually getting that from a guy named Felix in Acts chapter 24. In Acts 24, I'm going to just read a couple of verses to you guys, a little bit about his story. So it says in Acts 24, 22, "But Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off, saying, 'When Lysias the tribune comes down, I will decide your case.' Then he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody, but have some liberty, and that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, 'Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you.' At the same time, he hoped that money would be given to him by Paul. So he sent for him often and conversed with him. When the 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison." Okay, so there's a lot going on there, even in those few verses, but just to give you guys a little bit of background, Paul is on his third missionary journey. He had just preached in Jerusalem. And at the time, there was this riot that started because of him. People were trying to stone him, but he got a chance to preach the gospel to them, right? But as all the riots were going on, he was actually taken by a Roman guard, taken outside of it to be able to kind of really to keep him safe. And then the guard, trying to figure out what to do, he actually takes him, Paul, before the religious leaders in hopes of kind of getting to the bottom of what's going on, right? So Paul preaches there, and things go crazy again. While in the barracks, Jesus actually comes to meet Paul, and he encourages Paul, and he says, hey, in the same way that you preached in Jerusalem, you're actually going to be able to do that one day in Rome. So from there, there's this plot that is on Paul's life. And then this guy, this Rome commander that had Paul, he basically sends him to Caesarea to kind of get him away from these guys. And so he has a proper hearing before this guy named Felix. Now, Felix was a Roman governor, placed by Rome. And as Felix heard this hearing between Paul and some of his accusers, who were these religious leaders, as well as, religious lawyers, almost, they basically were trying to make a case against Paul and saying he was doing all these different things. And Felix, being somewhat of an expert when it came to Jewish law, he was able to see very quickly that none of these things actually had any substance to what they were saying. So instead of putting Paul accusing Paul and condemning Paul, he actually says to the religious leaders and Paul, hey, hold on, guys, I'm going to actually take some time before I deliberate on my decision. And so basically he keeps Paul in custody for about 2 years, kind of under basically house arrest. And while Paul is on house arrest, this Felix, he comes and he actually asks to meet with Paul over and over. And he has his wife there, Drusilla, who is Jewish in origin. So, you know, they have this background, they have some understanding, but he would come to meet with Paul. And in this text that we had just read, basically it is some of the conversations that they would have together, right? So Paul was telling him about things like God's judgment. He would talk to him about self-control or the need for Jesus, right? And it tells us in the text that actually when Felix heard these things, he became afraid. And so he kind of understood it. I believe that God's spirit was actually convicting him at time frames and revealing to him his need for repentance, right? But it says that he was afraid, and it says that Felix, you know, would kind of push Paul away and say, hey, when it's time, when I find a more convenient time, I'll ask for you to come back and maybe I'll respond to it, right? And here's the thing, for Felix, historically, we don't have anything that tells us that though he had heard the message, though he had understood the message, we don't have anything historically that has told us that he actually responded in faith to the message, right? And really, if you guys are kind of tracking with me, this is what I'm talking about when it comes to a dangerous type of procrastination. Where for Felix, man, these were grave consequences to his procrastination and him not responding to God when God's spirit was convicting him. For him, I think this was something that he would always forever regret, right? Why do I say that? Because, again, he did not trust Jesus as his Savior. And here's the thing, guys. For some of you guys, maybe you guys are watching and you're like, I know that I need to get my life right with the Lord, but I'm going to do it at some time in the future. And don't do that. Don't push it off. That is a dangerous spot to be. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us that today is the day of salvation, right? Hebrews tells us that, you know, if God's spirit is speaking to you, don't push it off anymore. For Felix, he pushed it off over and over. And because of that, man, he never trusted Jesus. Maybe you guys are here and maybe you guys have said, all right, well, you know, I've been a part of a church for a long time. You know, I'm a pretty good person. I even tithe. But here's the thing. Jesus says inside John chapter 3 that unless you're born of the Spirit and of water, then we are not saved. And so, guys, if that is you and you've been just a part of a church for a long time, but you haven't trusted Jesus, you haven't been born again, as he would say, man, today is the day. And do not push that off. right? You know, part of the way that we see someone being born again in Scripture, or I guess some of the fruits of it, is that your life would be different. That you go from living completely for yourself to actually desiring to please God, to live for Him, to live for His glory. And so again, if that is you and you're like, man, I've been at church, but I don't really want to know God. I don't want to please Him. Man, don't walk in that way anymore, because that is not a safe spot to be. And yet the opposite is true for those who have trusted Jesus. Because when you trust Jesus, His Spirit comes to live inside of you. And Scripture tells us that we are then given His righteousness. We're imputed His righteousness outside of us. So now when God sees us, He sees us as righteous as Jesus was righteous. Right? We've been far off at one point, but we were brought near by the blood of Jesus. We've been reconciled back to God. And so for those of us who are believers, we get to trust that, you know, our future ahead means that we get to be with Jesus forever. It means that we get to, you know, be ultimately in eternity with Him, where there's no more suffering, where there's no more pain, where there is no more struggling with our own sin anymore. But man, but we get to delight in being able to be with Him. Man, that is so good. Amen and amen. That is what we want. That is what we desire. But the question I want to pose to you guys is it still dangerous for us to procrastinate if we are believers, right? If we have trusted Jesus, right? If we have been given the righteousness of Christ. And really, guys, I would say yes and no, right? So no in the sense of, you know, we have to worry about our salvation or these different kinds of things too, because our salvation was never by our works. It was done by the perfect work of Jesus and us putting our faith in it, right? That's Ephesians chapter 2, right? It's not works that any of us have been saved, but it's by the grace of God through faith, right? Praise God for that. That is amazing. But I would say, yes, that can be dangerous in this sense, that we're meant for relationship with God. Right? We're meant to be close to Him. We're meant to be intimate with Him. But when we, again, disobey God, when God's Spirit is telling us, hey, we need to repent of this. Hey, I'm calling you to do this, right? We can actually grieve God's Spirit, right? And we're not enjoying the intimacy of the relationship that we're called to have at those time frames. Man, when we grieve God's Spirit and we keep rejecting just the prompting of the Spirit. Secondly, with that, I think we can also miss out on some of the things that He wants to do in us and some of the things that He wants to do through us, right? Where, again, man, I could think back on different opportunities where I would be working somewhere at a secular job before, and, you know, I really felt this prompting in my heart that God wanted to use me to preach the gospel to someone. But, you know, what would happen is I would get ready, I felt like it was that moment, and then I would just be like, oh, no, right? And it's not that God's work stopped at that time frame, because God doesn't need me, but He loves me and He wants to use me, right? And I'm sure He used other people to preach the gospel to that person. But for me, I actually missed out on the opportunity of what God wanted to do and the joy of obeying God at that moment, right? Man, I could think of different time frames where maybe the Lord was just prompting this desire to repent of something, where there's something in my life that needs to change. And at the same time, you know, just kind of being like, but maybe later, right? In those ways, we're missing out on those time frames to allow the Lord to do what He wants to do in us at those time frames. And here's the cool thing, guys, is Scripture tells us that, you know, He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete that work, right? So He doesn't give up, you know, just because we miss an opportunity or because we did those different things, or the sanctification does not stop at those time frames. And yet, as His kids who have been blood bought by Him, right, we should continually be at this place where we're more and more surrendering to Him, more and more being in line with Him. And here's the cool part is when we obey Him, there's, you know, a lot of times that what I've seen is there's this quickening that happens into our heart where, man, I sense God leading me to do something and I do it. And here's the cool thing. He blesses it and He gives me more opportunities to do it. And then there's other times where, you know, where I kind of dull myself to Him, where I'm like, all right, you know what? Hey, I'm not going to do it. And I start, again, just kind of having a different perspective where I'm not focused on how God wants to move. And here's the thing, guys, if you're a believer, God wants to move in your life. I don't care if you're a pastor or not. I don't care if you're a person that works at a hospital, you work at Subway, you work wherever you are. If God's Spirit is inside of you, then God has gifted you with the Spirit for the purpose of being his witnesses, right? Of being on his mission of making disciples of every nation. And again, to be a proclaimer of the ministry of reconciliation that we have, right? That people can be reconciled back to God through faith in Christ. But here's the other thing that I would say that can be dangerous is sometimes we hear this and we think, yes, I'm doing it. That's not the way it works. Hearing is not the same as doing. They work together, they should work together, but they don't always work together. In fact, James chapter 1 would tell us, don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer of it. And guys, at this time frame where we have God's word, you know, where we can read it, where we can listen to it, where we can hear it being taught, where we can go, you know, where we can really have so much information at just our fingertips, you know, or at the click of a button, like, man, I think so often we think that hearing is the same as actually doing it. And guys, we don't want to do that because, again, man, when we hear things, when we hear the truths of God's word, we're meant to allow that to transform the way that we live. D.L. Moody used to say it this way, that he would say that, you know, the Bible is not meant just for your inspiration, but it's meant for your transformation. So allow God's word to minister to you and then act on it as God's Spirit reveals your need to be able to repent there or to put it into practice, right? But you guys might say, okay, well, I get that. I could see how those could be, you know, challenging, or I'm missing out in some way. And yeah, man, that's a big thing. We don't want to miss out on all that God has for us. Guys, because again, the best place that you can ever be is right in smack dab in the middle of what God desires for your life. Because he created you. He created things the way they're meant to function. He created you with a desire, or he recreated you when you trusted Jesus with this desire to have an abundant life, right? Where there is life abundant, Jesus would say. And life abundant doesn't come when we disobey or when we're walking in disobedience, but it actually comes when we are in fellowship with the living God. It comes when we're walking closely to him, when we're walking in obedience and the joy of our salvation. So you guys might say, well, you know, here's the thing. I've been blowing it in this area for a long time. I feel like I've been, you know, just pushing off God's prompting or God's just trying to reach me. And here's the cool thing, guys, is God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And whenever you see people in Scripture humble themselves before the Lord, he doesn't push them away and like, oh, you missed your chance. Rather, man, God is rich in mercy and he's rich in love. And here's the cool thing is that he can even redeem things that were broken. He could even, what I've seen in my own life is he can take things, you know, even times that we feel like, man, we were blowing it, and he can use that to redeem or to be a part of his redemptive work in our lives and through our lives. And again, he, man, is so good and so gracious. And so, again, I would say if God is calling you to lay something down before him, if he's calling you to do something, if he's calling you to trust him for the very first time, do not push him off. Don't procrastinate, but rather run to Jesus. Enjoy the fruit of his salvation. Enjoy the goodness of intimacy with him, and enjoy, again, Jesus, man, because that's what you're made for. All right, well, that's what we have for today. God bless you guys. Have a good rest of the day.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.